I'm ready. Okay, so today we're going to talk about the body, fitly joined together. Let's start out, we'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and 13.
Boy, the phones are fixing to start ringing on your phone.
1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. And as we get there, the Apostle Paul tells us, "For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit." So, he's saying, as our body, our physical body, is one with many parts, many members, so also is Christ. So, what we have here that we just have to recognize is he's speaking literally, and he's also speaking spiritually. We're going to see two things here. He's talking about our literal body. But when he talks about that Christ, one body is Christ, he's not talking about Christ in the flesh when he was here walking the earth. He's talking about the spiritual body of Christ. And when he says, by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, now he's talking about the spiritual body of Christ, whether we be Jews or Gentiles or whatever. So let's go to verses 14 to 20. He goes on to explain it. He says, "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body." So, we're all members of the body. That's what he's telling us. And he set us where he wants us. And that's sometimes really hard for us to understand if we see somebody else, maybe, that's the eye, and we want to be an eye. You know, and all we are is an elbow. That's kind of hard to understand. But if God set us there, that's where we're supposed to be. And that's where we can be useful and do the right thing. So that's what he is getting to. And he did it as it pleased him. So sometimes we have to think about that if we're not particularly happy with our position in the body. Another thing that I've discovered about the body is that the body is a growing thing. So therefore, I may be a toenail today, but I may be of more use tomorrow. The Lord may put me in another part of the body. So, but it's as he does it, not as each. So we really hurt ourselves sometimes when we desire something where he has not put us. The point is where he puts us to be content and to be happy. So again, this is a spiritual body, but he uses a physical body to explain it. You know, why are our arms here? Some people may wish their arms were somewhere else. Move them down a little and I could have a little more strength to pick things up. How about our eyes? How come they're not in the back of our head too? That would be convenient. We could be looking back at the same time we're looking forward. But then on the other hand, we're confused enough with eyes that just look forward. You know what I'm saying? Why do we get dissatisfied with where we are? You know, that one of the big things, of course, in the body of Christ is, in the physical, earthly body of Christ, is some are male and some are female. That's where he put you. Some are young and some are old. He's got a place for each person in the body and a purpose for them. We need every part. Let's read on verses 21 to 27. "And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, Upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, and that the members should have the same care for one another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And that's what we are, individual members of the body of Christ. So, if we have some parts that are missing to our physical body, we don't function as well. And I don't mean to just zero in on you, Roy, but I'm going to use you as an example today, you know. Roy's body isn't functioning as well. I know, because I had the same problem. You know, I had a kidney that wasn't functioning well. And that makes him more feeble and less honorable and comely in the eyes of the world. Right? They want strong, they want people that aren't, they don't like, they call people like, they still call me, even though I'm blessed enough to have been given a kidney by Annette and I feel perfectly healthy, they still call me sick. I'm a sick person because I need to take pills to keep going and keep my body from rejecting my kidney and so on. So they think of me as a sick person. You're not healthy. To them, healthy is somebody who never had sickness, you know. So he doesn't stand as well in the world, but how well does he stand in the body? Well, he's pulling us all together in our love and hope for him. When I shared with Turner that there was hope for a kidney for you, Roy, she nearly came through the phone. She told me she'd been praying constantly, almost every day for you. You may not realize how many people care, but there are people that care and feel helpless. Care and feel helpless. You know, Roy needs something real bad, but I can't help it. And then all of a sudden there's hope, you know, and what an excitement for all of us. That's the body functioning. We don't get to see that too often in a big old church, you know, but that's the body functioning. He is necessary, honorable, and comely in our eyes. We understand God's more as we see it in action in this part of the body. That's where we see it. You know, I was a Christian Lone Ranger for a long time, out there studying the Word and learning. But I didn't even have a clue what being part of it. In fact, I'd seen churches and they didn't have much appeal to me. You know, they didn't look like a real neat function. Well, I didn't know what it was supposed to be is the truth of it. And when we first started a group in Mexico and all of a sudden we start loving each other and caring for each other and it's like, whoa, what's this? What's this that's being born in the midst of us that we don't even realize? When Sharon rejoiced over her opportunity to share the truth, we all rejoiced. I mean, that's such an exciting thing. And not only that, we all shared the truth through her because she's part of us. She's part of the body, you know. So that part of us got to go out there that 3 days and share God's word rightly divided, you know. So that was neat. When Karen sometimes comes in here crying because of the suffering that she has had to endure, whether it be with a family member or sometimes with a coworker, we all suffer. I mean, that hurts us all that she has been hurt at times like that because she's part of the body. So it is. It's really neat to see that. And then when Annette finds a site where people are volunteering to give Roy a kidney, I mean, that's like, whoa, we all get excited and filled with hope, you know. And we all get a little teed off when the transplant coordinator doesn't handle it the way they're supposed to. And poor Roy felt a little bit of the heat this past week. You know, I go, hey, Roy. Somebody called up to give you a kidney and they weren't very receptive to it, you know.
A coordinator, that's all.
When Frank and Sue are excruciatingly having pain for their granddaughter, you know, we all feel for that, you know. I mean, that's something that we all, that's the body functioning. When Mike, Lisa, and Lucas move away, we all mourn, you know, that they're going, that we're losing them. On the other hand, we pray that the Lord use them there and that they do find a place where they can continue to grow as Christians, you know. So these are glimpses of the body I see functioning as it's designed to function. And like everything that's always happened in my life, I didn't read a book and it says, here's how you get a body going. You know, first you make these rules, then you follow them. It's we gathered together around the table and we started studying God's Word and sharing it, and everything else came out of that. You know, then you just see it happening, and that's what's really neat. That's when you know that it's something that is happening outside of our control. So, I remember just some of the things, the way things happen. I remember when we were going to Nolan's class, and who's a very good teacher, but he's a little bit on the complicated side. And I was watching Emily and James, and it seemed to me like they weren't exactly enthralled with what was being said. And having put my own children through a time in a church that I felt totally wasted their time because they weren't getting any learning, I felt compelled to see if I could offer to teach them something. Of course, I can imagine their parents saying, who's this kook that's coming out of nowhere? We better check him out, you know, and wants to teach our children something. But that's God working. That whole thing was God working. And I'll never forget getting to teach you guys. I mean, that's a neat thing in my life, is that I got to come and share that with you. And, of course, with you too, Turner. So you were there. So what it is that there's lots of opportunities that come up, and if we're not so busy thinking that we know what our opportunity is supposed to be, we're there for the opportunities that God gives us, you know. So when the body starts functioning like this, then we have to ask, are we causing it or are we receiving it? Right? Because that's the big argument in the Christian world, is can we make ourselves good? Can we make a church function right? I mean, go to any church that gets together, the first thing's all the rules that are there. And the letter kills, the Spirit gives life. So you force out God's Spirit at times by just saying, this is how we have to do it. I always thought that there was a good example of what the mistake that a lot of people make with churches is that they have an experience. God puts them through something, and now they think everybody has to have that same experience, you know. Like the church of the guy named Saul when he was on the way to Damascus. That's what we'll call it. Because after all, that was a great experiment, you know, an experience. And what an amazing thing Paul learned on the way to Damascus. So let's name a church that, and let's all try and have that experience. But that's not what God does. You know, it's really neat. He individually works with each one of us in the way that he decides to. The main thing is that too many churches do try to cause it. Yes. You know, have you ever been told in church, turn around and greet the person next to you? Yes. You know, tell them how much you love them. Yes. Ask them what they've been doing. See, they're trying to create relationships, but what they really wanted was to pour in 1,000 people immediately so they could have a big old church, and now they want them to all love each other, and so they try doing it, you know, as forcing that on them. Isn't it neat when it happens automatically? You know, I mean... I thought for a long time about how I could get some videotaping going on at this place, and I thought, well, I think I'll hire me somebody that can really handle this. And I really had a hard time convincing Karen, you know, to do it, and I had to pay her a lot of money. But that's not true at all, because she was compelled by the Lord to do what she did, and in doing so, she contributes to the body, you know, and that's how it happens. Nobody asked her to. Nobody stopped her. And we have a neat thing happening because she was led to do that, you know. So one of the worst things that happens is that we forget that Christ is the head. The body does not function unless Christ is the head. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. Colossians chapter 2, verse 18, where the Apostle Paul tells us, he says, "Let no man beguile you of your reward," or fool you, deceive you, "of your reward in a voluntary humility," which means acting humble, "and worshiping of angels, and intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind." So this is a man who thinks he's got a special insight. And so as a consequence, he's puffed up. But mainly, more important than that, what is he not doing? Verse 19, "and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God." So the main thing that happens there is that man who thinks he's somebody special to the body is stepping in place of Jesus Christ. He is trying to become the head of the group when the head is Jesus Christ. So, and the increase, it says here, increaseth with the increase of God. So, if I'm up here and I'm bringing you God's Word, I'm bringing you God's Word. But if it means anything, does anything, and grows in you, it's because God's doing it. You know, just like He's using me to bring it to you, and just like so one day He may use somebody else, or does also use Frank to bring it to you. So
would you say He was usurping the place of Christ?
Absolutely.
What Satan?
Absolutely, because the head is Christ. So without Christ as the head, we become like a vine without a tree whose roots have been cut. You know, in the back of our yard we had a tree and the vines were all the way up killing the tree. We cut the roots. And the vine dried up and died and stopped killing the tree. And that's what it's like. Why? Because the nourishment stopped. So what that man has done, here we're all being nourished by Christ. Now a man comes in here and he steps in here and he says, you know, "I can fix you from now on. I can do it." And you start believing in him and following him. Well, the nutrition is gone. You've just cut the roots off because it's no longer Christ the head. When Christ is our head, we become witnesses to the truth, not creators of it. You know, that's when you all of a sudden see it, like what we're talking about here is, wow, look what's happening here. How many churches have you gone to where people care for each other, love for each other, are interested in each other, and share God, and have a room full of people who are interested in God's Word? And we were down there visiting my brother-in-law, Charles, and he says, well, when he was teaching, it was like he was teaching bumps on a log. I said, well, I can't imagine. Because all I've got is a bunch of people that are interested in God's Word. And in fact, if I mess up, they correct me. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. And you know, we may start out like a lot of people start out and read the Bible as an obligation. Oh, that's right. That's one of the things I got to do on my list, right? Go to church, pay money, read the Bible, help park cars, greet people. You know, whatever it is, we have our list of obligations to do. So we may start out that way. But in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, Paul says, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation." Am I reading the wrong place? Yes. It's 1 Thessalonians. Thank you. See what I mean? When I mess up, people correct me. It's a foolproof deal. It's that's right. See? Yeah, it is. Perfect, man. I'd like to say I planned that. No. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." So we receive it as though it's coming from the head. It may be coming through a man who's reading it to us or whatever, but it's coming from God. This is God's Word. So we start out maybe reading it as an obligation, but as we start believing His Word, we start growing and changing, is what that's telling us. So, and in the body, two things change. One, we individually are changing, but two, the body starts changing. You know, at first, we're just a bunch of co-attenders. Right? I mean, that's more, and some of us may have more of a relationship than others and all that kind of stuff, but we're co-attenders. But as time passes, we start to grow and love each other, and it becomes a living organism and not just an organization. So, let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11a. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11a. And he starts out, that's why I'm going to divide this up, in verse 11, he says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets." And then we'll get to the others in a minute. But who got the most when he says some? Who were the some that got the most apostles and prophets?
Jews.
Absolutely. They got almost all of them, right? Which one did we get?
Paul.
And he's an apostle and a prophet. Pardon?
He was a little G too.
Right, he was. And he really would have rather gone to them. The truth be known. All right, let's go on to the rest of the verse. So, apostles and prophets. And then he says, which I think those are no longer in existence today because we have the full Word of God here, and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. But who is the head? So we've got some evangelists out there. We've got some pastors. We've got some teachers. The problem with the religious world is that they have made preachers, pastors, and popes the head instead of Jesus Christ. I mean, that is just cutting off the nutrition. It's huge. What happens immediately? Nutrition stops flowing. We're cut off from the head. We become imitators acting out instead of members living out. That's what was happening in England in the 1600s or whatever, when the law of the land and religion were the same thing, and they said, you will attend church. You don't have to believe what you hear. You will attend church, and you will take the communion, the rituals. You know, you will do what you're supposed to do while you're there. We don't care what you believe. That's imitators, right? That had deteriorated all the way down to, we're going to make you imitate. While with the head in charge, you have to believe it, right? I mean, what a neat thing. And you have to believe it. Well, if you don't believe it, you don't believe it. And you don't believe it until you do believe it. And there's no in-between. So you can fake it, but it doesn't make any difference because God knows your heart. So otherwise, again, we become imitators acting out. You know, hey, clap. Let's clap. Let's do a big clap. You know, haven't y'all ever been to a sporting event? Don't they stand up and scream? Why don't y'all do that in here? What's the matter with you? That's trying to imitate what they think it should be. You know, of course, the Lord is quiet. We don't have to yell and scream and shout. And the Lord knows our hearts. We don't have to say a word. Right? That's what we know. But they are imitators. So they're saying, well, this big old organization here is not sounding excited enough or enthusiastic enough. Come on, say it louder. We teachers, preachers, or evangelists are supposed to plant and water, which makes us servants, people carrying the water or the word out to people to let them take of it. That's all we can do. We're ministers of reconciliation, which Paul tells us we plead for people to be reconciled to God, to trust in the Lord. We have no headship there. We're ministers of reconciliation, every one of us. We're pleading, not condemning, or looking down. And why do we do it at all? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 12 to 14. We do it for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or building up of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So, for the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body. Till when? Till we all come in the unity of the faith. The knowledge of the Son of God. No more selfish children all running around in different directions. I mean, God is forming us into one body. But becoming a perfect man as part of what the Lord calls the new man. In other words, it is in the body of Christ that we can become a perfect new man.
Does that mean mature?
It does mean mature. It does mean mature, but it also... But a mature new man, which is the body, is going to become a perfect, also in the sense that we know it, body. Because with Christ as the head, and all of us functioning perfectly, which won't happen, of course, until we're out of here, then we become the perfect new man. But in Ephesians 4, again, verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So, speaking the truth in love, boy, that's something that took me a long time to get around to. When I first learned the truth, I like to jab people with the truth. You know, that's, hey, I know the truth and you don't, and I can knock you down. Especially if you pretend you proclaim yourself as a Christian and you don't know nothing. Boy, can I show you what I know? You know, want me to correct you a little bit there? So, that's, darn it, the Lord tells us we got to speak the truth in love. You know, so, and we got to grow up into Him, into Christ, and not into ourselves. So, are we trying to be the head? Or are we pointing to the head? You know, that's the difference right there. Who should we be praising and applauding? Jesus Christ. Sometimes I hear some applaud in here. Please don't applaud me. If you want to applaud for the Lord and His Word, have at it, man. That's where the Lord leads you. I'm just part of the body, right? And I'm not a head. And... sometimes I actually cry when I think, I remember who I was and what I did and how little I deserve, and that He would even, and what I lack today, and that He would even use me to bring this word to you. I mean, it just proves that it's not because we deserve it, beyond the shadow of doubt, you know. So, Frank and Karen can both quote you scripture better than I can. It's about there somewhere. I was down there in El Dorado, and I was working with Charles, and he says, where is that? I said, well, I know it's on the left side up near the top, and I think it's in Corinthians, and we'd find it. But they know it a lot better than I do, you know. So Sharon and Lawrence just overflow with joy. They bring joy into me. I don't know what happened to me along the way. I once had a lot of joy. I still have joy, but it's not as expressive as it is with you guys, because that's your part of the body. And if you all have your way, we may all be as joyful one day or be able to express it as well as you do. But in the meantime, you flow that over on us. You know, that's what a neat thing that is. Others have more humility or compassion or patience or love. You know, each one leads in some area and each one's weak in some area. But as a body of Christ, we've got it all. See what I'm saying? That's where we've got it all. So, but who is the head, the increaser, our director? Jesus Christ. You know, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Jesus Christ unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So, God has some good works in mind for us. He has them. He's ordained them. He's got them in mind. So, if He ordained them, do we choose them?
No.
Not unless He gives us a list and says, pick one, right? But since He doesn't, it's those opportunities come in front of you. And you need to be prepared to take them. We receive them, in other words. And then it's up to us to accept them if He puts something in front of us. Sometimes we run from it. But if we're ready, we won't run from it. Each one of us is useful in one way or another. Some people just need a hug. You know,
knockdown, one of the two.
Or what? Maybe he's the knockdowner, you know, and somebody else is a hugger, you know. But we each have a part of the body that we do. Let's read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16.
I was just having a little humor,
that's all. Me too, Frank, me too. Okay. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. So we'll start back at 15 again. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. We're the joints. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So, I mean, that's telling us that God really means a lot for the body. And He wants the body to grow up together, the body to love each other. And from whom does all this come? Yeah. What if I try to be from whom? It is over. And you go around and see how many churches. If the hero is the teacher, the preacher, if he's the star, then there is no Jesus Christ flowing through that thing. They're not fitly joined together. We're not effectually working together every part if the head is a man. We're not increasing to the edifying of ourselves in love because we are trying to be the head. Or because we're not satisfied as an elbow. You know, we're not satisfied where the Lord put us. I remember when this guy came down to Mexico and I was down there and I was reading this and I was loving it and I wanted so badly to be useful to God. And he told me about this trip they made over to Romania when it finally opened up from being a communist country and they filled a stadium with people coming to hear about Christ. And oh man, he just told me all these things. And I said, well, when's God going to let me do something for him? He says, well, you better pray. But that was the right answer, because it's when God's ready. That's when He was going to give me something to do, you know. And the rest of the time, well, what I was supposed to be doing was wanting to do something for Him and continuing to study His Word, which is what I was doing, you know. So be content is what Paul says, wherever you are in the body. It's the body that counts, and we've been placed where we're supposed to be.
Something.
Yes.
I think it's in Ephesians. Yes, it is in Ephesians chapter 6, where it talks about in our armor, it says, and having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And that's what, at a minimum, we should be preparing,
right.
Preparing ourselves.
And it's close to a maximum. I mean, it's definitely a minimum, but you're then useful at any time, you know, and wherever you go further from there is great, but at least you're able to explain to people what God wants, how He saves you, what you have to believe. And that's it. That makes it real easy. I wasn't able to immediately believe what I needed to believe in order to be saved, but I knew what I had to believe in order to be saved. And that guy told me the same thing. I said, don't you think it'll be good enough with God if I just want to believe it real bad? And he says, no, He knows your heart. That's not good enough. I said, then what I do? He says, well, go pray. You know, and I did. And eventually I believed. And when I believed, then it was a true thing. But that's what we can all do. And somebody says, well, that's awfully simple. So yeah, that's all there is to it. You really believe it. The unsimple part is it has to be real. You have to really believe that Jesus Christ the Son of God died on the cross for our sins that we're sinners that need dying for, was buried, and rose again, and that His promise to us is the same thing. Not that we won't die, but that we will be raised and be with Him if we trust in His Son and not in ourselves. So let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verses 6 and 7. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. I mean, it tells us that one day we're going to appear as we're going to be. We're going to appear in glory. Right now, we're just an old pot. Earthen vessel. But the Lord shines through us. And if we're not trying to be the head, the Lord shines through us.
Yeah.
If we're trying to be the head, then we're the only ones shining. And the Lord doesn't shine through us. So that's the difference right there. Let's go to Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Romans chapter 12, verses 3 to 5. Chapter 12, verses 3 to 5. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, meaning seriously, you know, not pumped up with ego or whatever it is, you know, soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. God's the dealer. And as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members of one another. So I don't know how much you've thought about this, but we are complete as a group. As a body. If one of us thinks more highly of himself than he ought, he breaks down the body. It's hard to be one with a person that's with a peacock that's primping around with his feathers all up, you know. How can we achieve such a thing? We don't achieve it. We receive it as we function as members of the body and not as individuals wanting to do our own thing. Let's read verses 9 to 16. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Now there's a pretty good example of a mature, perfect man, right? Which one of us can fulfill all of those positions today? Not a one of us, right? I mean, we're going to be there because God's going to get us there one day. But we're not there today. But is it possible that one of you could fulfill one or two of those positions? That it may be that that's the gift that God gave you, that that's the part of the body that He set you in. So It's only as the body that today we can grow and fulfill God's will for our lives. The body can do all those things. Mm-hmm. You know, Annette and I were talking, and she says, well, I have a hard time with hospitality, but I really do have compassion. Whoop, compassion. Yeah. Where's hospitality? You know? But that's how it works. You know, that's God's plan. So, as the body, we can do all this as we are all functioning in Christ. Amen. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. I think I've told you before about the time that Annette and I went out with my mom to dinner, and the waitress was really short with us and kind of rude, and we were getting huffed up, Annette and I. But my mom reached over one time. She came, put her hand on her arm and said, honey, you're having a tough day, aren't you? And honey just melted, and we felt really bad for how we were behaving. But what happened there is, there was a part of that little body that was right there that had love, compassion, and patience. And that person stepped up, and that was my mom. And we didn't have it. So isn't that neat that we had a member that did have that? You know. So Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love again, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. It's in him we grow up. And then back to verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Can you imagine that one day you're going to have the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ? But until we do as a body, or at least we're growing into it as we love and we edify one another. Can we, now that we know all this, make a list of chores that need doing and then appoint who's going to do what? Who appointed Karen to be a generous contributor to the ministry? Who appointed Annette to find a website where people contribute kidneys? I mean, who would have even thought about that? And she wasn't looking for it, by the way. She was looking for something else. And it kind of popped up.
God's an app now. He's popping up.
Who appointed Sharon to teach the truth for 3 days, and who appointed those women to be attentive and listen? Who brought Frank down from Michigan and me up from Mexico so we could be teaching in this ministry here in Memphis? I bet that was your plan all along, Frank. He said, I think I'll go down to Memphis. And I'm loving so much what I'm doing here, I'm going to see if I can create the same thing down there. Who's put people in front of each one of you? You know, where God puts us, he has something for us to do.
Yeah.
And we have to be excited and look for it, because he's the head. He's the one that puts us there. Meanwhile, like Karen said, we got to prepare ourselves. We study, we pray, we be watchful, we wait for the works that God has ordained for us. And that's our lesson for today.